Welcome to another episode of the Bitter Jury Podcast Survivor Edition, covering episode 5 of Survivor 46. I'm your host, Richard Mai, as always joined by my co-hosts, Daniel, Sarah, Charles. I'll start with you, Daniel. How you doing? West off. How are you enjoying this season?
I am having a very good time. It's kind of fun having Sarah join us now and finally got her onto the Survivor train. And you guys were a little late to the pod, so Sarah and I just sat here and chatted Survivor for like 15 minutes. And I honestly, if you would have told me like 2 months ago we'd be doing that, I would have said you're lying. So I'm just excited to have her in the fold.
Well, I'll go to the next person on my screen, which is Sarah. How are we liking Survivor? Have we kind of gotten you to really enjoy this and stick with it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm almost finished with season 45 now, but I will say, although I've only had like a small taste of Survivor, I feel like this cast for the current season that we're watching, 46, like just isn't really hitting the mark fully yet for me.
Charles, do you share the same sentiment?
I do. You know, even though I know Daniel and even Sarah's kind of going back and trying to get some background of past seasons, and I haven't done that yet. Definitely compared to season 45, this cast, as you know, because I very early into the season had my list of do not likes. Yeah, I'm definitely not feeling them. They're missing the mark on multiple levels. I will say this week, obviously foreshadowing a little bit, made me a little happy. So I'm definitely looking forward to what happens as we continue.
Well, we'll get right into it as Westoff shows us our competitors left in the competition.
Thank God, because I was getting people confused, honestly. I was watching season 45 last night, and I was like, wait, whoa, where did Tiff go? When did Tiff get voted out? I was like, dang, I don't remember.
Anything you guys want to talk about before we get to the challenge or anything that interested you guys?
I just one small note. I actually found myself like enjoying is a very strong word, whatever the slightest amount of enjoying can be of Ben this episode. He didn't only talk about music. He actually talked a little strategy and a little bit about his experience while in the game. And I was like, oh, this is nice to actually see something that's not just a quote from AC/DC. So I thought I'd point that out.
It's so funny to me that you still get so angry that like he talks about music so much.
It's just that it's the only thing. And like, I want to get to know about these
it players. Saved his life.
It wouldn't annoy us if he like said like, anything else. Anything
who
else?
Who are we talking about?
Ben.
It's not. That's it's about the times where he forces it. Like sometimes you just say how you feel. You don't need to do an analogy to your favorite song from Africa or whatever. So
now I will say to that point, I don't feel like it's forced. But as a result, I think if I were on the island with him or were actually friends with him, that it would eventually get on my nerves. Because I actually do feel like he is such a music guy that those things come naturally for him and that like it never turns off.
Yeah, I don't remember the order of this episode really. But
yeah,
whether or not this happened before the competition, Hunter, like he is making moves this episode. If he would have done, I know that we'll get to it, but if he would have gotten both of the advantages he possibly could have, I think he would have been a shoe-in for final three. So we'll get to it after, because I think that the journey happened after the competition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. He did find the Beware advantage before that.
That's true.
Speaking of which, I do have a question for Richard, and we might have talked about this at some point, but how Randon like left with their tribe's Beware. Is it common for it to be put back on there when somebody leaves like that?
I mean, I expected it. I can say that for sure. I expected them to put a new Beware advantage out there, specifically because of that. And I would be a little bit surprised if it wasn't the same. Actually, no, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same situation. Spoiler alert, with Jem. Right. Yeah. Because Jem was voted out straight up. But Rannon was taken out by his, you know, not by his own. It's weird. Sometimes they put it back in. Sometimes they don't. They usually, if they're going to put it back in, it's usually either like an early medevac, like Rannon situation, or if like Jess or Jelinski had one, I think they would have put it back in.
So clarify for me, Richard, because I know maybe this is just different than Idols, but in all the seasons I've been watching, and again, I was 10 through 25 is where my experience is.
Yeah.
If an idol is out of the game, unless it's before final four or five, sorry, if it gets used or it leaves the game, it immediately gets hidden the next day and it's back in play for someone to find. I thought that was
don't know if that's how they're doing it now.
Okay. Because I thought maybe Beware is different, but that's for idols throughout the first seasons I just watched. It was like a guarantee. Yeah. If it's out, it goes right.
I think it's different for Beware because Bewares are specifically set up to be during the tribe stage.
And that's why, what's his face? The guy with the fedora, he would find idols like every idol use, he'd go find it the next day, be back in play.
Oh my God, who the frick was that? I'm thinking of like people that play with a fedora, and that's probably Jonathan Penner.
No,
it's probably
no, the guy from
Russell Hanson.
Russell.
The one that I think of most recently is Ben Driebergen from season 35, HHH. He had his Ben bombs, so. Like he literally after the first time I played it, because he knew he was at the bottom, he was against an entire alliance, and then he would literally at tribal go, just like make like a rocket noise, and just go shoo, and then go into his shoe, Ben bomb, and like I think he played like three or four idols in a row. I don't know if that's how they're doing it now. We'll have to see. I don't remember. I don't think last season we had an idol in the post merge part of the game. I don't know if I'm wrong about
freaking that. Freaking Austin hugged them all. That's not a spoiler. Sarah's far.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. Because, I mean, like, also, Sarah, you have one episode left?
Yeah.
Austin didn't even freaking use them.
I finally understand what Charles was saying about, like, Austin and Dee, like, totally giving up their game for
Austin being hooked to D just threw Charles on a crazy train.
What Survivor like brings you to, because like D was like one of the most like dominant, direct, like straight to a path. Like she could have, you know, easily, I mean, I haven't seen the end, but she could have easily won this, and Austin too. And I just feel like this.
In a way, I think Austin was kind of a poison to himself. And you've seen this part by now, Sarah.
And then Dee went back to Julie. It was horrendous to watch.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you.
Horrendous. Well,
I knew I missed that you little for a
bit,
reason.
Little, with that little bit out, let's talk about the challenge. Thank you again, Survivor Wiki, for providing these summaries, making my life easier. One at a time, three members of each tribe will run through a three-story tower obstacle, collecting keys along the way. One member will then use one of the keys to unlock a hook, which they will use to unwind a string to release a bag of sandbags. Each tribe member must then use a slingshot to fire sandbags to knock down one of three targets. The first two tribes to knock down all of their targets win. Does anybody have any thoughts on this challenge? Did you guys like this challenge? Yes, no, maybe so.
I like the challenge. Two notes that I made in this, I don't know if I'm actually answering what you're asking or if you actually want comments on like each tribe's performance.
Please go for it.
Yanu is sucks. So fucking slow.
They're so bad. That was gonna be my comment.
Like literally, I wrote Yanu is just the worst. Slow. Like, and you know, jumping ahead, obviously, so finally they didn't finish in last, but fucking A.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
And then comment number two, and you know, we've already been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. Hunter should straight up just be illegal. Like, seriously, watching him compete and the shit he does, he needs to like be Jeff's protege and just fucking lead the show after this season, because he is just fucking going
crazy. He just walks in as Jeff Jr.
Like, it's crazy though. I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
I don't understand how more people on his tribe haven't realized, like, they just need to let him go and then just say good riddance. Like,
I would have taken one look at that mobile bed and said, your ass is out of here.
I mean, I guess that, I mean, they're winning though, so they don't have that issue, obviously. But
yeah, that's one thing. But I don't think it's been mentioned enough of how good he is.
This would be a scenario where I would consider throwing it in order to evict him, because I'd be that scared of him in the individual portion.
I think people are starting to realize.
I love that you said evict. I love that you said evict. Sorry.
I'm still big brother at heart.
I was going to say, he's going back. He's going back to
God. God, he's. Of all three of you, he's watched the most Survivor seasons, and it's just a heartbreaker for me to hear this crap.
I definitely feel like the more people see Hunter compete, like, the more of a threat he becomes, for sure, because he's good at everything. Like, he's not been bad at one of these competitions. So, yeah, he's going to have to be winning out or using idols here soon.
Yeah, well, and I mean, truthfully, too, we look at him as a competition and physical beast. I'm not going to lie, I actually like his social game, too. Like, he's so perfectly positioned. Mm-hmm. He's not trying too hard. He's calming. Everyone talks to him. Again, no one's talking about him yet. He's just kind of, it's like, in a way, he's floating, but I feel like he's actually so strong that he's not. And just genuinely doesn't feel like a threat to anyone at this point.
He's aware enough to target Soda in order to get Tevin to be his main alliance rather than like a share.
I also just appreciate the fact that he has been put on a tribe with, to me, the hottest person on the season, which is Venus. I'm just going to say it flat out. And I think in a lot of other situations, you will have people that are just like girls, girls, girls. And like, you had Austin last season who, you know, end up liking D and this kind of, and, you know, all that stuff. And so I really like how focused he's been on his own game and his own, you know, controlling his, you know, controlling himself and not, you know.
I mean, so are you saying that he's like,
we're only a few episodes in?
Oh, I'm saying he's not letting himself be blinded by a girl.
I also, Austin and Dee weren't even looking at each other at this stage.
Every time, can I say something? Every time a guy has ended up falling for a girl on one of these shows, they do not win. Like, we need to start realizing.
I also think
Venus might be the most beautiful, but she's got the most attitude to pair with it.
I love Venus.
Like, I think this is
a complainer.
I think this is an indictment of Venus. And I said this at the beginning of the season. She's trying to play the poverty game, but if that were poverty in there, I think even Soda and Liz would be drooling over her, being like, I'm taking her to the final two. Like,
oh gosh.
I've heard of Parvati. I haven't seen her game yet. I do, but I can see what you're saying, but she does not seem strong to me. Like, she was another person last night while I was watching season 45. I was like, wait, where'd Venus go? But then after I thought about it for a second, I was like, oh, thank God she's gone, you know, like, so I've seen her complain after most competitions. Yeah. Whenever I see her on camera, she's just sitting there. She's not doing anything. Like, for a guy like Hunter to be even impressed, he's probably got to see a woman like chopping wood, starting fires, and fishing for fish.
For an example, Sarah, after that one competition, they rolled over the wagon on her toe. They
and
won the competition.
And
rather than celebrate with the team, build the camaraderie, build your equity in the group, she complains, you ran over my toe, so I'm not going to talk to anyone.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to go rock climbing together. So that's just not going
to
work.
To be fair, if you fucking ran over my foot after I told you to move, I'm going to be pretty fucking salty, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, and
that
And then I'm going to vote you out for being salty. I would never vote Charles out, but everyone else would probably vote you out for being salty.
Well, listen,
dude, Brandon's left arm is fully numb and she's complaining about someone running over her toe.
Great point.
Well, Nami absolutely dominated, but since there's three tribes, the show must go on.
I know you're about to go
move on to the final.
One more thing I hate. Every time they win, the Nami, 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 Nami. I'm like, shut up.
Nami.
I hate that song.
Agreed. Yeah.
Well, luckily, neither of the other do have that annoying of a song, even though Ben loves to reference rock and roll. How did we feel with Yanu finally not having to go to tribal?
Oh, relief.
Relief?
Emotional relief.
I like these three. I'm very glad with where they're at. Like,
they're my three favorites.
See, I love Tiffany.
I love Hunter. I'm sorry. Like, let's be so real.
I like two, maybe, but mostly one.
So who's the deadbeat, yeah. Sarah?
Sarah hates Kenzie.
I do not like Kenzie. Yeah. I don't like her. I don't like her. She is a mermaid dragon. I'll say it.
I'm getting on board with that, Sarah.
She's a mermaid dragon. Every time I see her, she's got some sly comments she's also saying behind other things. Like, she says something and then behind it there's another meaning and you're like, but what do you mean, you know? And who are you talking to, you know? I don't trust her at all. And Q, I kind of like, you know,
we're
just
on the same
kinda,
page, we're on the same page.
But I'm Tiff all day long, you know. Yep. She's my Tiff. Favorite.
I started to like Q a little bit more after this episode with the journey, but before we get there, I'd like to point out, I'm so friggin' happy that of all the tribes to go to tribal this episode, it was Siga. I've been asking for them to go to tribal for the last three episodes because, like, everything with them felt so cookie cutter. Like, they felt, like, so hunky-dory, and I'm like, I'm curious what game they can finally, and I've said this before on the pod, is like, I'm excited to see what game they actually play when they're put in a situation where they actually need to vote someone out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything felt so kumbaya over there. And I was like, God, like, are they going to vote anybody out or are they just going to protest and all write down Jeff Probst or some crap? like what happens when they're forced to make a decision? I think for the duo that stands out of that tribe, I personally think they made a stupid decision, but we'll get to that later. Talking about the journey, I think the big thing that we need to get out of this, first and foremost, the text conversation that I had with one of my friends of the absolute frustration with how shit Hunter did at that journey challenge. I
can relate.
Don't want to be that guy.
I mean,
I would have gotten that. So
okay, I was gonna ask
freaking easily.
I have the question written, Richard, would you have been able to do that? So
yes,
I believe it.
Oh, and I believe you.
Let me give a little context here why I believe you, Richard. Because every time you and I are discussing and I'm like excited to talk Survivor with you, I always go like, oh, season 23, and you're like, oh, Kombucha. I'm like, I've never heard that name in my life. I don't know what the symbol looks like. I don't know the name of the season. I just know it's the 23rd and these are the people on it. Richard knows like the symbol, the colors, like the names of the season.
Not the colors. I know the name of the season. I know the winner of the season.
Daniel.
If you're gonna call me
a survivor purist, he's a survivor purist. He should fucking know everything.
That's true.
I mean, I guess that's fair. Like, the only part that would have gotten hazy for me is there's a kind of like frame between like 5 and 12 that I get mixed up, like the Vanuatu, Palau, Panama, Guatemala part, that kind of gets hazy. But like, I know that I know that 12 is Fiji and 13 is Cook Islands. I know that 4 is it starts at 8. Like, 8 is the last one that I know, but like that, like 9 to 11, there's like a 3 there that just screws with my mind. I've gotten a lot better at it recently. But I mean, it doesn't help the fact that I still think I would have done very well in this challenge. it frustrated me so much. Oh my gosh. This is honestly like what frustrated me was that this is the challenge that I dream of getting if I go on the show. This is the challenge that I want. Like, please, if you put me on the show, please ask me to name the 45 winners in a row. Please. Like, give me something I know I can do. I remember every time any of my friends find out that I can do that, the immediate response is just concern. By the way, I just realized I'm looking at it right now. I messed up. Fiji is 14. See, there's that like range where like I know bits and pieces. Like past 8 is all stars, but past that, the only between 9 and 15, the only one that I know 100% is that number is at 13 is Cook Islands because it's one of my favorite seasons. But like that is a bit hazy, and I know that was part of it.
Now, did Hunter have an option to opt out once he saw it, or was it if you're going, you're doing it? Was
that you're going, you're doing it.
Okay.
Also, because he volunteered to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
remember this one wasn't rocks. This one he volunteered to do it.
But the only detail was that it would be survivor knowledge. You didn't know how, what kind of knowledge, like.
Yeah. But like,
I'm with Hunter. If you would ask me, not that I'm anywhere near you, I'm no purist. But if you would ask me character questions, I would have done way better than whatever hell that was. So,
but like, if they asked me, but it's also a thing of like, if they ask me, like, how many, you know, who has the most immunity wins or like individual immunity wins, like that kind of stuff, I can
Aussie.
Try to guess. I don't know if it's Aussie in a single season. I know for women, it's Chrissy Hoffbeck and Kim Spradlin, but I don't know. Like, there are some things where it gets hazy for me.
The fact that you know last names, you are a purist. So we can just go ahead and say that.
There's a few things that like I don't know, like that kind of like trivia. But I saw that it was like it put the seasons in order, and I was like, come on, dude. Like I could do that.
Yeah, but the really interesting part with that was the alliance, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to next, is asking you guys on your opinions. There was an alliance made between, was it Q, Tim, and Hunter?
Yes.
Where they agreed that the three of them would come in and bring a duo. Very reminiscent of the master plan by Tiff from, oh my God, the...
BB23.
Cookout.
Yes, the cookout. Thank you. What did you guys think? Whoever can go.
Oh, go ahead, somebody.
No, you're good.
I'll go first, because truthfully, I'm kind of like Sarah, and I am not the biggest fan of Q. So even though this was a good move, I hate that he's part of it. Because
it's also a good thing for Tiff, though. If you like Tiff, that's a good 100%, thing for Tiff.
100%. I'm just not, like, I just don't like him, so I would have rather it have been someone else. But I think if they can pull it off, I mean, shit. To go and emerge and have 6 people strong, I mean, they're going to be pretty hard to beat, especially with Hunter in the mix. I mean, shit. Again, it should be illegal that he's even there. So, yeah, they're going to have to watch out for sure.
Yeah, I'll say I didn't love, like, so Q's on my draft team, so I'm rooting for him. But I don't love his game style. It reminds me of. He's not the biggest strategist. He's just kind of pure athlete. But I do.
Where is he from? Do they list where they're from?
They do. He played at Ole Miss. We know that, right?
Yeah, I can get the information for you real quick. I can find out where he's from.
But I mean, I love that, you know, it's Hunter and Tevin, Q and Tiffany in this alliance. Love that foursome right there. I don't love Tim, but if I had to choose anyone on SIGA, like, I don't really like any of them.
No, I would have picked Charlie.
I would have
liked to have seen Charlie, and Charlie pulls in Maria.
You're right. He does have the best head on his shoulders out of that whole crew. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
But
I think so too.
Who did Tim say he's going to pull in with him?
Maria.
Okay.
Shocker. Oh, yeah, because he said the whole mom thing. By the way, Tim.
I just think Maria might get sacrificed before the merge because even after, because people see her as like a mother.
But she doesn't want asking, them to see her as a mother. But Sarah, she needs to be a mother.
Where's from? Where's Q's from?
Where Q's from?
Yeah,
Q is a real estate agent from Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
I mean, Q did have his strategy moment earlier. I don't know if you remember in the episode 2 where he was talking to Kinsey and he was given his whole I'm going to give up story, blah, 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 blah.
But
side was like, yeah, I'm not really going to give up.
That was funny. That was funny. That was actually.
What's really interesting to me is that how that plays in and the fact that nobody noticed the fact that, like, didn't Zelensky, like, right after getting voted out, say that Q was the one that also brought up quitting. And I was like, is no one going to make that connection that like him saying this maybe has something like, well, would have some implication on if he was the one to quit or not.
Yeah.
Like, is no one going to bring that up?
Yeah. Cause whenever they were showing like that clip of him saying, yeah, you know, I might quit and blah, blah, blah. And then it cut to like his diary room of him saying, no, I'm not doing that. That was good. Cause he had me fooled when he was talking to Kenzie. I was like, what? Are you for real?
I was fooled too. And I was worried because
I was so confused
because Jeff Probst gave a whole spiel before the season started about he's done being nice to people that quit. He's not putting out your torch anymore. You're just kicked off the show. And I was like, oh, here comes the wrath of Probst. But I'm glad Q was just lying.
Did you Westhoff, did you watch a season that was split into old people and young? Oh, well, there's a lot of seasons like that. Hold on.
I did. I think Suri was on one of those seasons, wouldn't
she? How the heck do I describe this to you without giving it away? Because like my initial thought is always just to say, like, oh yeah, this is who won. Hell is the name of the season?
You're trying to make? It's not gonna help me if you say the name, but what's the point you're trying to make? And I'll probably figure it out.
There were two people that quit in one episode. It's the only time it's happened.
Yeah, I know
you're Purple talking Kelly about. And Nyanka. Thank you. Yeah, okay, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the rain season.
Okay. It's so okay, do you remember there was a whole discussion, and the reason why I bring it up is because there was a whole discussion about how people who quit would be handled, right? And so, like, it came time for tribal, and these two girls say, we're going to quit. And Probst went on a mini rant of just like,
they're in the final eight when this happens, by the way.
So what do we do now with you guys? What do we do with your torches, right? You guys are quitters. You guys, yeah, they did.
It rained the whole season.
Yeah, the frick they did. It was so annoying to me. It was Nicaragua, so you did see it. They literally, like, Jeff Lee was just like, so you guys are quitters. What do we do with your torches? Like, you guys are quitters. You guys didn't get, you know, you guys didn't leave the game the way everybody else does. You didn't play and stick it out honorably like everybody else does. So what do we do? And I remember Nyanka just goes, what happened to everybody else's torches? Got snuffed. And Probst was like, so are you putting yourself on the same level as everybody else, even though you quit and they didn't? And it's just interesting when you think about, like, I actually pose this question to you guys because I think it's interesting to hear what you guys have to say since you guys haven't seen all these seasons except for Westhoff, who saw this season. What do you think should happen to someone who quits? Like, what should happen to their torch? Like, what is the way that they should be treated on their
I think they should have to walk out with it lit by themselves. They're lost.
And then I'll tell you what Probst does.
I think Probst should walk out to the ocean and just fling it into the water and say, be gone with you.
Quitter.
Shame.
And then Charles, what do you think should happen?
Game of Thrones.
I mean, I would probably have to watch a little bit more, but for now, I'm a little bit of devil's advocate. Like, it's annoying for someone to quit, but it's good TV, so I don't need them to have something different happen because they're leaving the show. So, like, okay, you're gone.
I know, but you could have gotten another character on the show.
So, yeah. And that's my thing. It's like, I think something, you know, I kind of like Daniel's, like, yeah, have Jeff just launch it out into the ocean or something, just because it would add to the dramatic effect of the quitting. But again, I mean, this is different because it's reality TV and they're competing and all this stuff, but people quit shit all the time. So
that's what I'm saying is if we're going to lose the emotion of the eviction because they quit, let's gain that emotion back by Jeff Probst just berating them and then just like taking their porch over his knee and snapping it or something.
So here's the follow-up before I say what he actually did on that season. Do you think, because Wesoff said it, it was the final eight, do you think people who quit should be given a spot on the jury?
No.
No.
So here's what happened in the original one. Well, what Probst decided to do, they were allowed to go on the jury. And what Probst did was he kept the torches lit and put them down by next to the campfire and said, we're going to leave them here throughout the rest of the season. So it's a reminder to you guys, the decision you decided to make when you decided to quit, every time you walk in as a part of the jury, you will look at those torches and remember, I'm a quitter.
But here's my question, like, and this is why, again, I guess I play a little bit of devil's advocate.
Go for it.
If I went on there and quit outside of the, like, shame that I get from social media, I can assure you Jeff Probst is not going to make me feel guilty about it. So, like, leaving a torch there for me to walk by and look at, I'm just going to be like, okay, cool, it's on. Like, I don't know. So, again, for me, like, I haven't watched enough to, like,
get Twitter would treat you way worse.
You're like, purist. Social media would make me feel worse than, like, Jeff Probst trying to guilt me into feeling bad about it.
True.
I think from Richard's perspective, that might be the worst thing that could possibly happen is to have the shame of Jeff Probst.
Yeah, as a purist who wants Jeff's approval in all things, I would assume Richard would feel bad.
I'm trying to figure out if the way that they left it. Yeah, okay, there we go. The way that it was left as it is now, if you quit during the jury stage, you are not allowed to be on the jury. Someone who's quit or is ejected. I think if you're medevaced, you're allowed to be on the jury because that's not by your own volition.
Hey,
but
this is completely off topic. Still on Survivor. Just give me a quick answer. I'm just curious. Has there ever been a tie vote in the final tribal?
Yes.
Okay. Don't tell me when. I just was wondering if it had ever happened. So, all right.
All I'm going to say is that you're not very close. You're not very close. It's a more recent season, so it's not very close. You'll get there, though.
I always wondered. I'm like, there's eight jurors. What if there's a tie? Like,
So I will say what happens in that scenario. Since we've kind of settled on the final three, what happens if there's a tie? The person who is not in that tie casts the deciding vote.
Interesting.
So if it was you, Sarah, and Charles, and the tie was between Charles and Sarah, then Wesoff, you would be eliminated and you would cast the deciding vote between the two of them.
I reject this example.
It was just chance, but yeah, that's what would happen. But yeah, back to the season at hand. I think this is a great move. The whole, like, you know, the three of them get together and bring one person in. But let's talk about what I've been waiting to talk about is what the fuck happens if Siga has to vote someone out. This is great. This is really enjoyable to watch.
So great.
Any comments, like, before we get to exactly what happened at Tribal on anything in between the journey and Tribal?
I enjoyed right after when they all had to just sit in it for a minute and be like, it's been a party the last 10 days and now shit's getting real. And they didn't start immediately. They all just kind of sat in it. And then Jim was like, I'm going to go look for an idol. And that's when it was like, all right, game on.
I'm going to go look for an idol idly.
Alone. Yeah. Well, and I have that as a note. Like, she makes her declaration of solo idol hunting. And, you know, I think that too, which obviously we didn't get to see any of the, like, real in-depth back comments. But I think that might have
sealed her deal.
Put a nail in her coffin. Because I definitely feel like, you know, with everybody else throwing blame on Tim and, you know, whoever else throughout that whole ordeal, she was the first one who was just like, okay, I'm going by myself and you're not going to stop me this time.
But also, and someone's got to start the motion where everybody goes their separate ways. Somebody's got to start, you know, start it. Or what are we going to do? Or would you, let me ask, would you have been at peace with the fact if everybody on that tribe just sat around the campfire at fucking kumbaya and just like, that's it, we're not going to do anything, no. Sit here. And
but if I'm the one with the clue, I cannot be the first one to go. I have to let someone else start it, even if it's late in the day. Like, I mean, if it's 10 minutes before sunset, we're about to go to tribal, maybe I desperately go if I think I'm in trouble. But you're just putting a target on your back. You're like,
yeah,
everyone's watching. Who's the one that got the clue? We all read the note. Actually, no, that note didn't say that you'd get one after they lost it. It just said it's buried, but whatever. Still,
I mean, I think as a whole, no one wants to be the first one to go because you don't want to miss a thing, right? You don't want to miss any conversations that could happen. So I want to ask now, knowing that at Tribal, what happened happened, Jem went home. Do we think that was the right decision?
Yes, 100%.
Game decision, Charles, not I hate Jem. So
again, I like how you called on me first because you know, you probably know this is one of those Charles, I have to remove my feelings and I have to think game, yes, moments.
Please.
I am gonna still say yes, though. I mean, she was playing way too hard compared to everyone else. And I think ultimately outside of, again, just the, okay, I'm going to declare this, even though, you know, even after I've been shady for a couple of days with this whole idol hunt, I just really think that with how hard she was playing, that her getting into a merge is just going to kind of backfire on everybody. And I think that, you know, with Sika trying to stay strong and they, you know, have all these kumbaya moments, they freaking had salsa dance class together on the beach. Like, they have a really good bond. Yeah. I was shaking my head with that too, Daniel. But no, I genuinely feel like she was too much. And, you know, I appreciate someone coming into the game who's going to be there to play. But, you know, look at the other side of it. You have Hunter who is there ready to play and maybe the most prepared person ever to go into this game. But Jem, I don't know, she just seemed like she was going to end up being more of a detriment than a help.
I think for me, the reason why I question if it was a right move, like, I personally would have kept Jem. I just felt like, because I'm putting myself in the shoes of the Charlie and Maria, because they, at the end of the day, were the swings in this vote. And to me, I think Jem and Mariah are the safer options in terms of who is less likely to flip on you. I think there's a higher likelihood that Tim or Ben, especially Tim, flips. Because, and you saw it in the journey, right? Tim was very quick to accept working with Q and Hunter. And I think the benefit of keeping Tim and Ben is that, especially for Tim, they're a meat shield. They're very strong competitors, especially Tim. I think Tim is a very strong physical competitor, and I think he's a good meat shield. But I also question, like, I think of the four people outside of Charlie and Maria, Mariah is the most loyal. But I don't think that's going to say anymore because you saw the face crack that Mariah had when Jem's name was called to go home. So now Mariah's thinking to herself, damn, they're playing the game. They're playing, right? And so now she's reevaluating her options. And I thought she was and in my opinion, she's the most loyal one of the four. So now she's going to be reevaluating her options when they get to Mergatory next episode. So to me, it all just comes down to the fact that I think Jem and Mariah were way more loyal. Like, Jem and Mariah were so down to work with Charlie and Maria. Like, they were so rock solid with that foursome. I think it's risky to go with Ben and Tim. It could pay off very well. But on the other hand, it could also prove to bite them in the ass.
So I've got a couple of points. I think our opinion of Ben, maybe just my opinion of being annoyed by Ben, isn't true of his status in the game. We did see in this episode, like, everybody seems to love Ben. They're just like, mm-hmm, he's like the most reliable. Like, they're the,
I think,
like,
it's Stockholm syndrome.
It could be, but I think that actually elevates his status and maybe makes him a more reliable, like, ally in the eyes of the players in the game than Jem. Now, I have the same opinion as you going into the episode. I thought it was Mariah, Jim, like they solid there, like the girls and Charlie. That should be who comes out of SIGA. I think, you know, she couldn't have predicted this, but I think Jim's fatal mistake was keeping the idol only to herself when she didn't have a strong enough game to be a player that hides an idol long term. Like, she's
a horrible liar.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Horrible. Like, if you're going to be a strong player who has an idol in their back pocket all game long, you got to have a strong social game. People have to be attracted to you, and you have to get through the beginning stages of the game on your own to save that idol. If you're not a strong enough player to do that without the idol, then you need to then use the idol in order to form those relationships. I think Jim should have realized that about herself and shared the information like Tiff did with her allies, and like Randon did with Venus. She should have done that with Mariah and Maria. And if she had done that, maybe that information gets leaked to Charlie. They're like, look, we've got an idol, the four of us strong. Then she stays in the game. Tim gets kicked out. But without her being able to really elevate her own game without the play of the idol, I thought it was just the wrong move. And she was kind of, I'll tell you what, though, I was surprised at Tribal. I thought she was staying. Like, I was shocked when the vote came in. So
same.
Shows how much I know.
I wasn't shocked, but I just thought it was a dumb move. What I was saying.
Did we confirm who Maria's second vote was for? Was it for Jem?
Oh, I think it was Jem and Jem.
Okay.
I'm going to go double check right now because I have it open. Yeah. It was Charlie, Maria, and Tim voted for Jem. And then Jem and Mariah voted for Ben. Here's the other thing that I had a really freaking tough time with. If Ben tells you that he doesn't have a vote, why the fuck did you waste the extra vote? Didn't Ben tell them that he didn't have a vote?
He played it like he was going to maybe lose his vote. He'd learn when he got into the voting booth. You know what?
Regardless, if Charlie and Maria decide on Jem, even if Ben had his vote, especially if Ben had his vote, why would you use the extra vote?
You have to use it, don't you? I thought you had to use it this tribal.
No. You have Ben, Tim, Charlie, Maria. That's four. That's enough. And you have Mariah and Jem.
To like the final six or something, that's it?
If you're Maria, as long as you and Charlie are voting in the same direction, you don't need the extra vote because it's 2v2, Jem and Mariah versus Tim and Ben. As long as you two vote together...
We didn't see any of the background. Like there could have been a potential that someone was like, yeah, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, if I feel like Charlie, you know, was he fully on board, you know, or I don't know. We didn't see any of the background really.
Yeah. Well, I have another question to pose, you know, and looking at this potential six person alliance, you know, Tim, one of the reasons he listed Maria being the person he would bring is knowing that she has that extra vote. Do we think that that'll change his outlook now? Like knowing that she's used it and isn't going to be as much of a positive for them.
Did we see him share that info with her yet?
Who?
Did we see Tim tell Maria? Did we see anybody tell about the alliance to the
I don't think
people
so.
Not on the, on the, so, no. Whatever that's called, the journey. Okay. So I still think that they've got that parent thing that Tim, like, who is his other closest ally? I guess it'd be the guys, but I think Tim thinks that he's sly. He's got the guys and he's got the secret thing with the parents and Maria. And I think he's going to ride that.
I just think Tim overestimates how strong his relationship with Maria is.
I agree. I think it's more one way than the other.
It's very one-sided. It's way more one-sided than he realizes it is. But
I mean, she does go from deciding that she doesn't want to be a mother to being a mother to not being a mother to being a mother. So who knows?
I think her acknowledgments of being a mother and using that, I think it is more of a usage for social gain rather than
I could be remembering this wrong. Sticking with. I thought I remember there being a side, like an interview with Maria in this episode where she said that Tim was her closest ally. Did I make that up in my head?
I would be surprised because
was it Tim saying it the other way?
I think of Charlie. I think it was the other way because I think you're thinking of when Tim
said Maria's my
closest was saying ally. Maria was his closest ally when they were on the journey.
Okay. Maybe that's what it was. I was shocked either way. So, okay.
I mean, I think if you ask Maria who her strongest ally is, I think she's going to give you Charlie's name.
Really?
I think she'd give you Charlie's name. I see her very strongly working with Charlie. I feel like that's the duo that we've seen, because I think, and this is something that we've discussed before, is the importance of the edit, right? And I feel like we've seen the most of their relationship. Yeah. So, I mean, I could be wrong. You obviously don't know what's in the edit, but that's what I think of. When I think of like who is Maria's close ally, I think Charlie is. And I think they're a very good duo.
Sure. Good enough at this point in the game. We'll see how long it lasts. But I think that out of all three tribes, Sika has the strongest general bond with each other and yet the weakest individual bonds. Like, I don't see any duo.
That's a very good way to put it.
Going up against the other duos of Yanu and Nami, or triple of Yanu, and it being even close to the like belief in that relationship. I guess
I like that too, Daniel. Look at you.
It's a great way to put it.
Nami, 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 Nami.
Stop.
Please. Oh, shit.
The last thing we have for today is that the next episode is Mergatory. Get hype. Do you guys need to, like, do you guys understand how Mergatory works, or at least the way it has worked for the last few seasons?
Kind of.
Are you just saying the merge? There was the Mergatory, an actual thing.
Mergatory is an actual thing. It's the theory of how, for the last few seasons, it's been like you have to play a challenge. Remember, you have to do a challenge to earn your way to the merge.
What was it last season?
I couldn't freaking tell you. I think Sarah would probably remember it better than I do.
Was there something?
They were like going through the mud. It was real muddy. Then a couple people like didn't get to sit on the merge at first until other people were sent out. So. Yeah.
Doesn't ring a bell,
I don't remember.
But my question for you guys, expectations for the merge, you know, excitement for how you, or like something that maybe you think somebody's going to do especially well in the individual portion of the game.
I'll say we're all silent. You know, I think it just goes back to the point that Sarah made at the beginning of the pod, like, everybody in the cast except for Hunter really is just kind of missing the bar. So I'm hoping that now that we're going to merge or mergatory or whatever the fuck you called it, like that some people are going to have to play because they have to play, and they're not just going to rely on their tribe pulling them out of it. And now we're going to get some more of the deception and the deceit that you know that I love. So yeah, I'm excited for it for sure.
I've just noticed over time, just as a whole, and I think we've discussed this before, is just like, I feel like the pre-merge is increasingly getting more boring. Like, and Wesov, you can speak on this one because you've actually seen like pre-new era seasons. I feel like in earlier seasons, the pre-merge was way more interesting and there was way more game being played and people actually making relationships. And like, I feel like that's what that tribal stage is. You're just trying to survive and create relationships with the other people around you, because if you keep winning and you are like at a good relationship with a good majority of your tribe, then you go into the merge with a numbers advantage.
Yeah. I think it's just maybe a unique to this season, the fact that the same tribe kept losing. And when that happens, you don't get the stress test for the other two tribes to have to go through and really sharpen their social relationships with their other tribe mates and, you know, jockey for position and who's the hierarchy and who is the underdog. Like Nami, they're all, Venus should be like a huge outlier. Like in a normal season, we'd be going to the merge and Venus would be easily picked up by one of these other tribes.
I think Venus is going to get picked up by another tribe.
I still think that, but it's not like a sure thing because there's just been nothing for them to really even have to.
I think Venus gets picked up by Yanu.
I think she's pushed herself out, but any normal player, like, without having gone to tribal, there wasn't an opportunity to be like, you're the outcast. So,
yeah, but I think the good thing about Venus is that she is.
Who's she going to click with though? I don't see anyone.
She is very self-aware that she is at the bottom of this tribe. And I think it's going to push her to have a relationship with the Yanu.
It's going to be her and Kinsey, isn't it? It's going to be Sarah's favorite duo.
Here's what it comes down to. Like, I think Kenzie understands that this is a tribe that is depleted in numbers and needs more people to work with them. And so I think you're looking at a situation where she's going to say, like, these people are going to need someone to work with, and I need someone to work with as well, because the other geniuses on my original tribe don't want to work with me.
Do you really believe she's thinking that far ahead?
Yes, because that's what you should be freaking thinking about.
I know that's what you
should. She also feels like she's just, like she said question. It outwardly, that she feels like she's at the bottom of this tribe. And she's aware of that. And I think this is going to push her to, like, actually make an attempt to create meaningful relationships with the literal minority.
We'll see.
What I'm looking most forward to is that when Nami starts doing their sing-songy shit, the glares and eye rolls from the Yanu tribe at them are going to be fantastic TV. Like, I can just see them being like, what is this shit? Like, we've been through 11 days without a fire, and they're over here kumbayaing. Like, it's going to be good.
Oh man, I love that Daniel's so angry about all the music this season.
I've got passion this season. I don't know where it's come from, but
it's a great thing. It's a great thing.
It's the new edits. It's these slow mos of the slingshot before Yanu gets their final target down.
Oh my gosh, Joel texted me because he was watching the episode this morning, and he literally said, "This may be the single slowest slow-mo I have ever seen in all
it
of
sure feels like it sure feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
we never that. Like, even last season, I don't think we had these slow-mos. Like,
it's because all of the production everywhere is upgrading their slow-mos. Big right. Brother the reindeer games was like slow-mo nation.
So you're saying really they just got new cameras and their editors are having new toys to play with.
Everyone's having heyday with slow-mo.
I can
relate. Just having a field day, aren't they?
Especially while people are walking. Let's get you walking.
Okay, hold on. The slow-mo of them walking in and out of the challenge has always been there. You can ask Westhoff. It's always been there.
No. I just mean across the board on all shows. Love Island.
Sarah's just looking for
okay, you. But Love Island, okay, every dating show loves a good slow-mo because you can really play around with the running on a beach, you know? Yeah.
Coming out of the beach with the water.
That's such a cliche, though. Like,
Sarah's just looking for any excuse she can to bring up reindeer games and get us to do a breakdown of that season.
Let's fucking do it. I'll do it.
Wait, you want to do it?
Yes. Reindeer games was great for the most part. Until the winter, but yeah.
See, that's what I was waiting for. I knew there was something that Charles had issues with when it came to reindeer games. I was like, are we not? Is he not bringing this up? But no, anything else that we wanted to discuss regarding this episode of Survivor?
Not for me. Just ready for Nami.
Also.
Nami. All right. Final remarks from each of you. Who wants to go first?
Kinsey's a mermaid dragon.
Wonderful. Love it. Charles?
Man, I can't top that. That's actually pretty hard. looking forward to tomorrow night. I can't wait.
And Westhoff.
I'm excited to ever see Liz do anything. I forgot she was on the show until I was scanning through right now, being like, oh, there's another player I forgot was on the show.
Yeah.
But no, love. My favorite part about Survivor compared to the other reality shows we watch is that it feels like once Merge comes, we get a brand new show. It's different style of games. It's different style of strategy. And so it's kind of fun. We got, 4 or 5 weeks of one show, and now we're getting ready for the next show. So I'm excited to get into all of that and really see how the dynamics of a full cast competing on one tribe plays out, because I think there's a lot of big personalities here that are going to be butting up against each other.
Well, my final remarks is that I, in honor of Ben, surprisingly, nobody has called me out on it, have literally snuck in titles of rock songs throughout all of my statements tonight. Literally off of my fucking rock play, Crazy Train, Poison, fucking, like, I literally have, don't want to miss a thing. I've literally, Good Riddance, I have a hidden Separate Ways. I've literally hidden a shit ton of rock songs throughout everything I've said tonight, and no one said a goddamn thing. I'm quite proud of that one. I'm proud of you.
Now I want to go back and listen and hear all the Easter eggs.
I would love any individual that has the dedication enough to actually try and go see if they can point out the rock songs that I've hidden in here. I've left a few good ones just because I was like, you know what? Let's leave a few for when Ben gets voted out. In honor of him, I'll just keep sneaking in song titles. Maybe if Charlie goes home, I'll do one for Taylor Swift and try to sneak that in there.
I was going to do a really, really bad joke. So, you know, what?
Please do.
I was going to say next podcast, I'll try and sneak in a Lil Wayne song just for you all. Like a nice little lollipop treat.
Please.
With that terrible dad joke, we can end it however you want, Richard.
On that note, you know what? That's great. That's a great ender. On that note, that's all the time we have for this week. I love that that's how we're ending this week. We're so excited for more of these episodes. Let's hope for actual exciting gameplay now that it's an individual game, which is usually how it goes. Sarah, can't wait for you to tell us how you feel after you finish Survivor 45. And on that note, that's all the time we have this week. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next week. Goodbye.